It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. Quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross. Brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. For all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and catering needs, don't forget to pick up your tailgate wine as well. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. Listener with the best question this week gets a 409tailgateclub.com.
A lot of pressure this week.
Tailgate box. All right, Ross, are you ready?
I am ready.
This comes from Brian in Austin, Texas. He says, hey, Ross, between recruits, their parents, current players, parents of current players, past players, family, et cetera, all the people that Coach Franklin has to spend time interacting with on his phone, give me a number. What do you think the number of emails, text messages, and tweets he sends throughout a year to maintain the relationships and the goals he achieves for the entire program? I just thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. Yeah. I'll just go day. How about day?
And then a day's you guys, a good one.
And then
yeah,
you can multiply it by 365 if you want. I would guess how many he sends out.
He's sending out.
Is it him personally sending out or someone on his behalf?
How about reaching out in some way, shape, or form as somebody from Penn State?
Yeah.
So James Franklin reaching out or someone on behalf of James Franklin per day with a call, a text, an email, or a tweet, basically.
Correct.
Or snap. Do you think he snaps? I don't know.
I don't know.
I will say 137.
137 a day. Man. Do you think that's...
I don't know.
I don't know
it's
either.
A lot.
That sounds about right, though.
It's a lot.
It feels right. Like, I was thinking at least 125.
I was 133 tops, Ross. Yeah, I just Price is righted you.
The answer is it's a lot. That would be 50,000 a year, and that would not surprise me.
Yeah, that would not surprise me either.
It's a lot. Now, the question is, how many of the tweets are actually him or somebody else?
Right.
Right.
But I don't think he'd have, like, he doesn't have anybody else texting for him.
No.
He can't have anybody else call for you. Email, I don't know. But 50, I'm sure 50. Somebody else is doing some
it
of the DMs.
It is crazy, though. The commitment and just the relentless. Forget it.
Never mind. All right, let's go. Question number two, Dominic in Cranberry Township. Among defensive ends, which traits and or skills differentiate a weak side defensive end from a strong side defensive end? Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good question. Where are they from?
Cranberry.
Cranberry Township.
Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh.
Yep. So some teams just have guys play sides. So they don't have a strong side and a weak side. College football, you're more likely to have a strong side and a weak side because what they call it is to the field or to the boundary.
Right.
And a lot of times to the field will actually be the weak side because you want the guy that's more athletic. Certainly that's the case as a linebacker. You know, field linebackers like Koa Farmer, a lot of those guys are like 200 pounds now. I mean, they're basically like another safety to be out there in that position. So the weak side defensive end is usually going to be a little bit lighter. He usually doesn't have to play over a tight end, so he doesn't have to really face double teams. So it's really just speed coming off the edge. Think more like Shaka Toney type body type for weak side defensive ends, or Awe, you know, guys like that. You're thinking long, angular speed. The strong side guys have to have a little bit more to them because they're going to be put in situations where they're going to have to play over a tight end more often, and so they're going to have double teams at the point of attack, tight end and offensive tackle, trying to double team them and knock them back. The weak side guy always plays usually outside of everybody.
Right.
Whereas the strong side might play inside eye of the tight end. So think more Buckholz, Sharif Miller, guys like that. You know, that's the thing that Penn State had two guys last year in Sharif Miller and Yetur Gross-Matos that could really be both. You know, what you really want in the NFL is you want a guy that's athletic enough to be the weak side guy, but powerful enough to be the strong side guy. Like that's, and that's Yetur Gross-Matos. That's why he's their best football player. And that's why I haven't even seen, they'll wait till after these, this year to do mock drafts for next year.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how high he is. He's going to, well, Saquon went number two, but he'll be high. Oh, I guess I'll tell you guys something real quick.
Sure.
I was talking with Saquon at the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah.
We interviewed him.
Nice.
And my nephew, Sebastian, he's almost five, but he's been into Penn State football the last couple of years and the Eagles. It's funny because number one, he's obsessed with Saquon Barkley and then Trace McSorley. And number two, he was emotionally devastated this year when he found out that the Eagles don't go to the Super Bowl and win it every year. He was like, what?
What?
Yeah, and his parents are egging him on in the video. They're not going to the Super Bowl, Sebby. What? Why not? Like all upset. I want them to go to the Super Bowl. It's hilarious. So I asked Saquon if he would do a quick video for my nephew. And it was amazing. It was amazing. He said, hey, Sebby, it's Saquon Barkley from the New York Giants, formerly at Penn State. Just wanted to make sure you keep working hard because I want nothing more than for you to go to Penn State and break all my records. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, he is exactly how you draw it up in every way. And I told him on the air for SiriusXM NFL Radio, I just said, you know, you're obviously a tremendous player. He's a total freak, but he's been such a good example, I feel like, for kids in Reading and Allentown and Harrisburg and York and just the way to go about it. And I feel like Trace is that way. I just feel like Penn State, and Bob, you cover him every day. I feel like they've had a good group of guys come through.
Yeah, and I think especially since James has been there, I mean, he really, those guys are, the way that he runs his program, he's not going to reach on knuckleheads. He wants guys, and that's why he puts a lot of emphasis on relationships to find out what right. these kids are all about. And if he's wrong early on, like they usually don't usually hear them being brought out to talk, or they don't really emphasize those kids. But Ross is right. I mean, they've had some really, really good kids, and Joe has as well, and so did Bill O'Brien. If right. you think about that class, but more often than not, if you're a Penn State kid, you're going to go pretty far. In this world.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Visit 409 for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, catering, and barbecue wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Okay, this is from Morgan in Arlington, Virginia. Ross, if you're Ricky Ronnie, what changes are you making, just a couple, in the offense in year two? Thanks.
That's a good question, too. Where's that one from?
Arlington, Virginia.
Okay. I'm probably trying to get the ball to KJ Hamler even more than they already did.
Got it. More KJ. Like, more targets as well as... I'm just
yeah, I mean, like, this is like, tough because the other ones are like, I would tell the receivers to catch the ball more.
Right, right.
You know, I would tell the quarterback to be more accurate at times. So, but I would say schematically, probably, well, I was going to say run the quarterback less, but if they really like Clifford and the way Stevens runs the ball, I don't know if they're going to run the quarterback less.
Well, yeah, and Tommy, you know, tends to kind of pull it down and run sooner rather than later. Russ,
maybe less called runs than Bob, because you know he's going to do it a lot in passing.
How about this, Ross? Now that Penn State knows kind of what they have in Freiermuth.
I was just going to say
that. And also Kuntz maybe showing a little bit more. Are you going to kind of maybe open up the playbook for the tight ends in the passing game now that you know that you can definitely count on Freiermuth, but you might have another different kind of tight end in Kuntz?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen enough from Kuntz to talk about that part of it, but I think Freiermuth and Hamler – are going to be two of their bigger weapons next year. And I'm excited to see how Shorter and Jahan Dotson come along as well. You know, there should be a big difference between your freshman year and sophomore year. Freshman year, you're just kind of like figuring everything out.
Right.
Sophomore, you go into spring ball and you're like, all right, I played in some Big Ten games. Like, I know what I'm doing. You go into spring ball with confidence, and that season comes, you're ready. The difference for me between freshman and sophomore year in college and then rookie year and second year in the NFL was night and day. Night and day.
Trace McSorley, after the bowl game loss, basically said Justin Shorter was the best player on the practice field in December for Penn State.
Really?
Yeah. He all but said that.
Well, good, because they need him. Maybe that's why Juwan Johnson transferred to nowhere. Where is he, by the way?
He's still in the portal. That's where. That's like.
But isn't that a little concerning?
He doesn't know how to unlock the portal.
Hold on a second. Obviously. When will he? He already graduated.
He's a grad transfer.
Is it in the spring?
He graduates in the spring.
Oh, okay.
So then he'll be.
So then there's no rush.
There is.
Because I was going to say, if he already graduated, he should be where he is doing winter workouts and stuff.
Think about what you were talking about, college football changing a little bit with the corner. And you were talking about, look at Juwan Johnson. There's your big, bulky wide receiver. So, let's keep going.
There's always some positives to that, though.
There is. Jeremy in Pittsburgh, he says, all-knowing Ross and crew, is Florida the new Virginia for Penn State in 2020? Looks like they're having a considerable amount of offers going out to kids in Florida, probably more than any other state. Want to hear what you think. Thanks.
Is Florida the new what?
Virginia.
So they were getting a lot of the best kids out of Virginia. He's saying, are they going to start getting the best kids out of Florida?
I don't know about the best kids, but how many did they get this year? Three?
Three from Florida in the 2019 class.
Yeah.
Why did I know that?
That's a pretty good sign. I mean, that's a pretty good sign. You might as well. What was it? Noah Cain, Dunmore, and TJ Jones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, you might as well. If you got a guy that has some inroads there and he's come through with three guys and they have him as a top recruiter there, I guess I didn't love any of those three guys. Like, I'll be curious to see how well they are. I think Dunmore was the best out of those, but I didn't watch any of those three. And maybe it's just Florida competition. But I think Dunmore is the best, but I wasn't like blown away with those kids.
All right, last one real quick. Matt in Cogan Station, Pennsylvania, where do you think the program would be if James didn't get a guy like Trace to follow him to Penn State? Do you think he'd have the same type of success because he's a great recruiter, or could he possibly have been gone by now?
I think he probably could have possibly been gone by now because
interesting.
That Minnesota game, you know, he was supposed to be on thin ice, and they didn't have Trace for the rest of that year or that game. I think he'd be in trouble. Who else would have been the quarterback? The thing is they would have gotten somebody else. You don't know who that other person would have been.
Right. I mean, it would have been Tommy.
As a redshirt freshman.
It might have been
Tommy Stevens.
Yeah, it would have been Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably be fired then, I think.
Okay, who's the best question of the week, Ross?
Sorry, Mr. Stevens, if you're listening.
Best question, Ross.
Oh, best question. Cranberry Township.
Cranberry Township.
That one the best.
Dominic, about the defensive ends.
Strong side, weak side.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, that'll do it. Coming up, we're going to close strong. Quarter number four, we're going to talk about the 2019 recruiting class. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.